As we wrap up 2024, the pop culture experts at Consequence are back with our annual report, celebrating the year's best in music and entertainment. And this time, we're bringing you something extra, a brand new podcast series exclusively on Amazon Music. Get inside access with interviews featuring the year's biggest artists, actors, and filmmakers, plus discussions with the Consequence team on our best of the year lists. And the best part, you can tune in with Amazon Music Unlimited, now free for 3 months. For a limited time, get 3 months of Amazon Music Unlimited free by visiting tryamazonmusic.com/COS. You'll get over 100 million songs in stunning HD sound, on demand and ad-free, plus top ad-free products, including the Consequence Annual Report Podcast. Every Amazon Music Unlimited subscriber now gets one free audiobook from Audible each month. Celebrate the best of 2024 with Consequence's annual report all December at consequence.net. And don't miss the companion podcast by signing up for 3 free months of Amazon Music Unlimited at tryamazonmusic.com/COS or clicking the link in the show description. That's tryamazonmusic.com/COS.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Kyle, tell me again, where are you in the world right now?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Really happy you made your way here. Thanks for checking out this series. I hope you hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out. 3 brand new ones every single week. New one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please consider giving the series a rating, leaving a review if you feel so inspired. Some great guests have dropped by lately. Natasha Rothwell is just here. She's starring in How to Die Alone on Hulu and season 3 of White Lotus. Dave Perner of Soul Asylum, Joe Scarborough from MSNBC's Morning Joe, H. John Benjamin, you know him as the title voices from Bob's Burgers and Archer, Keith Urban, the country superstar, Tim Heidecker, Les Claypool of Primus, David Yao of the Jesus Lizard, Keith Powers, and Jean-Louis Castellanos, they're starring in Uglies on Netflix, John Early, Father John Misty, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today. My guest, James Bay. He is back with a new album called Changes All the Time. We're going to discuss branching outs on his songwriting, being a people person, what that means to his writing, and the stress of making albums. He also details writing the song Speed Limit with Natalie Hemby and recording it in one take, and the magic within the LP's lead single, Up All Night, which, of course, also features his friends in the Lumineers and Noah Kahan. Speaking of those two, James guests on both of their just-released live albums, and we'll talk a little bit about him wanting to start a supergroup, CSNY style, Monsters of Folk style, with the Lumineers and Noah Kahan, maybe Hozier. We'll see. Let's all that and more. The new album is called Changes All the Time. It's Kyle Meredith with James Bay.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. Nice to be here.
Excited to have you here, and especially you've I'd say because you've got a great new record, you've had great records every time so far, so you're still batting 1,000 at this point. Congrats on that.
Thanks, man. No, well, that's very, I really appreciate that. It's, wow, it's such a wild thing to create and make music that I suppose that the job is that I have to like it to want to even put it out. But I'm at this point on album 4 where I've managed to make 3 albums that people like enough so that I can just about start to back myself.
To back it.
Just a little bit to the point that I'm really excited to put this music out. I'm aware I've had fans on my first, second, and third album, but I feel like we're more connected than ever now, and I'm really excited, therefore, for them to hear this.
It's an interesting point, though, for an artist, right? Because those 3 albums, you build that trust with fans, and you've built your sound, and there are probably expectations that come along with that. And as you know, I'll use that old phrase, grow as an artist. You know, how tricky does that become for you then? Like, you know, how far can you cast that line, you know, to try whatever you need to try?
It's a good question. And I think I've learned, and I will carry on learning. I hope to keep learning about how you have to always test that boundary. I don't ever want to, I suppose the classic phrase is play it safe. Sometimes I'll test that boundary a little bit more for me than I will my fans. Sometimes I'll test it a little bit more for my fans than I will for me. Interestingly, one of my pursuits on my second record was to push that boundary. It was more for me this time. On my 4th record, I recognize more about what my fans like, and as a result, I'm the boundaries, I think for them, are sort of pushed and tested less. I don't know, man. It's I want to make music, and I am so lucky that people want to hear the music I want to make. So there's the awareness boundary, and then there's just the excitement to share more with these people who like that I make music.
And isn't that the eye-rolling part of this? Because here you are in these personal moments for yourself, and you're just making music, and then we get to overanalyze everything that you're doing. On the back end of it.
I appreciate that. I do like sharing, you know, I mean that outside of making music as well. I like connecting with people. Something about my wiring and my makeup is such that I want to reach out and, you know, feel someone on the other end of my sort of reaching out and connect and, you know, converse and share and trade of experience. And that's what, you know, just making music because I want to is for me. It isn't singular, it isn't one-sided. I don't make music to keep all the doors shut and never show anyone. I make music to reach out. I make music because for 2 reasons really that connect to each other. I make music to help myself sort of understand, mature, and heal through struggles. And even celebrate triumphs sometimes. And I share it into the world to see if anybody can relate. And then to go and enjoy that together. Because by the way, included in all of that is the fact that I like performing. I like, in the same way that maybe a DJ likes to sort of play 6 or 60 great songs back to back, I like to play a live set and make people feel stuff physically and emotionally in the moment.
You are an emotional manipulator.
Hey, I think there's some part of that about every artist and every performer. Definitely, definitely. Hopefully it's a truth. Hopefully it's a harmless truth.
Well, let's see then, you know, I hope you don't mind that. I'm going to ask this broadly at first. Where was your head on this album?
Making a record is, I always find it slightly kind of stressful, you know, because I love playing live. I love the fact that it's different every night in big ways and small ways. And if I could take the last 300 shows or the last 3,000 shows or however many shows I've ever done, or at least a chunk of them, and somehow in some sort of parallel universe, be able to release that as an album, so people could understand my own sort of journey through changing and doing it a bit differently or a lot differently, I would do that, but I can't do that. I have to choose 10 to 12 songs typically. These days, some people do quite a lot more. Call them a collection, album, record, whatever, and then put them out and say, this is where I'm at, guys. So if you're going to come and see me between now and the next time I do this, then you're going to get a little bit of this as well. My head was, where was my head? My head wanted to sort of, I suppose I wanted to try and, I've only just sort of thought of it, phrasing it like this. I wanted to try and come home to myself and stress less about what anybody else thought. And that meant guitar solos. It meant, you know, earnest lyrics, soul-searching lyrics. That's what I've always written. It's kind of one of the reasons that it's definitely one of the reasons that I make music. My head was in a place where I wanted and needed to sort of check back into that headspace and create from that place, which is what I have always done one way or another, but I tried to do it in a more pared back, sort of emotionally kind of simplified and direct way. Maybe not simplified. Emotions aren't simple, but maybe in a more emotionally direct way than I have ever done before. That's kind of where my head was at when we went into the studio.
And we'll be right back right after this.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with James Bay.
I'm thinking of some of the songs as you're talking about that too. Like Speed Limit comes to mind. I mean, Speed Limit, by the way, I laugh at that one a little bit because, you know, for such a title like Speed Limit, it's so in the pocket. You know, it's like you're not running that speed limit, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Well, it's interesting. I think as a result of somebody who feels like he's there's that analogy of like a sort of duck sits on the water, but its legs are moving so fast underneath, you know, there's a hidden part of me that is racing. And I remember the day I wrote the song, that line, I broke speed limit to get to you, which is a little bit of a metaphor that means I sort of bent over backwards to connect with you. And it's not, I'm not holding that against anyone, but I wrote that. I came up with that line when I was driving to Natalie Hemby's house. I wrote the song with Natalie Hemby.
Great writer.
Yeah, she's an unbelievable writer and a fantastic person. And I was breaking the speed limit when I was driving. Um, I, I was like destroying the speed limit, but I was breaking it. And so when you say what you say about the title, know that no, the song is not. The song is me sort of resting and reflecting after the fact of the speed limit being challenged. And that's the kind of writing that sort of turns me on, I guess. That reflection, you know, taking the pieces of a thing that might have fallen apart, sort of metaphorically speaking, any emotion, any feeling, any circumstance, laying them out and saying, right, what have we got here? And who am I in all of this? And you know, speed limit is the moment on a record where that happens all the time. There's a lot of soul-searching done in my writing, asking questions about what's up, you know. But I appreciate you highlighting that song at all. It's one of my favorites. I'm still at the point where I'll say that all of them are my favorites, but yeah, I love it.
There's something really just, you know, the way it feels, because sometimes, right, sometimes it's about the way a song feels. And the fact that you even recognize, like, don't overproduce a song like that. Like that song, you know, it feels bare, but it feels like it could break at any point.
Right. I love that you said those things about that. Because I wouldn't necessarily have put it that way, but it makes me realize that those are descriptions of what I was going for when we recorded that song. I have a video on my phone. I'd set it up on a music stand in the corner of the room of us recording Speed Limit. We only did one take. So I have a video of us recording exactly what you hear, which is quite funny. When I say us, on that occasion, the sort of backbone for production of that song is my voice, a guitar, an electric guitar, and Gabe, who I produced the album with, he's sitting in the other room through a window on a drum kit. And he has got, when we talk about the sort of delicacy of it and the feeling that it might be close to a breaking point, he couldn't find drumsticks light enough for the sort of delicacy of the nature of the song. So we'd had some Chinese takeout, and he used the chopsticks that we hadn't eaten with to play that part. And that felt right. There was a fragility to the vocal because I did that take, and then I had to leave. And I said, "Look, we've got like a scratch take. We'll come back. We'll address how it feels, and I don't know. We'll do 10 more takes, whatever we need." But there was a brutal honesty to the delivery, the incredibly imperfect delivery of that one and only take that certainly told Gabe, "It's pointless, we try this again." And I was reluctant, like the artist might always be. You know, I want to do 100 takes and piece together 100, you know. But I love that I can tell this story and say that about that song.
I was talking with Fran Healy from Travis recently, and we were just talking about the magic of recording in itself, because I think he was bringing up Judy Garland doing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. He goes, "You're hearing her in that moment. You know, it's a time travel moment, right? In that case, but you're hearing that take in that moment and being transported there. And while variations of that still exist, it's rare, as you're saying, that we still get that specific moment in new music because of technology, because of the opportunities. But to actually, you know, to hear that, like, I love that song already, and I love that song 10 times more now, just knowing that.
Oh, that's cool. I appreciate that a lot. It takes a lot of courage, I think, like I've tried to say as an artist, to sort of be so vulnerable as to say, okay, fine, you can have that version of me. Because we're, of course, always like critiquing ourselves and as a result trying to get to the best version. And when we can put something out as artists that we think is the best version, it's probably all right. But it might lack that fragility and that sort of magical, otherworldly but human detail. What's the fucking word I'm looking for? I can't think of it. It'll come to me. Anyway, I've made my point, but like, yeah, it's mortal is the word I was looking for, as opposed to immortal. We are but, you know, mortal in our practice, and yet there is a sort of superhuman experience had when we fall in love with a song. You can't be some kind of superhuman. That doesn't exist when you're making the thing. But you can give someone a sort of immortal or superhuman, so heightened experience listening and receiving it and connecting. So, and if that takes a very fragile first take, then so be it.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with James Bay.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I'll never be able to figure out, because, you know, when does the magic find its way into the song? Because we know that there are just certain things that you heard that sound magical that 30 years will go on and a new generation comes up and they still have that exact same feeling. There is actual magic in that song. You know, why does Elton John's Rocket Man still connect? You know, why does the opening chords of the Wallflowers' One Headlight send me to a place, you know, that and my point being, for the artist making that, there is no magic involved with, so, you know, it's like, it's the work, it's the grind, it's everything that's happening around them. It's amazing that it ever finds, I don't know how it happens, but it happens somewhere.
Yeah, I think I like it. You can't engineer that, which is the other thing that you're sort of saying, but if in hindsight you can recognize, or someone can sort of tell you even, or believe that as the singing and recording you were lost in that moment, then that might be where some of the sort of magic exists. You cannot make yourself lost in a thing. It's an afterthought. But when we, you know, I can hope, imagine, or whatever, that Elton John was just like, let's give it a shot, I love the song, you know, and like lose himself to the experience. And then what's picked up on the microphones, you know, and on the tape is that in its very sort of most basic sort of description. Anyway, I'll stop trying to sort of like describe it. It's a wonderful thing, and it's a wonderful reality that's out of this world, superhuman and all that stuff. You know, I'm talking least about my own music, because I'm not going to sit here and say it's oh so this and that.
Let me do it for you, because the first time I heard Up All Night, which is what, you know, one of your record reps played it for me, and it was instant. Even a song like that, you know, we're talking lead single song. You know, it's got the best chance, which sometimes means maybe, you know, this is going to be the most. And like, even in that song, it was immediate. Like, it's there. And it's, again, it's not overproduced. The jangleness of it, the party vibe of it, like things that you can't force, as you're saying, you can't force those moments.
I'm glad that comes across. And I think one of the things that helped it be so naturally and genuinely that, was the fact that we couldn't spend too much time thinking about that. It was written in the studio while we were, typically my songs are not written while we're recording the album. They're written in weeks, days, weeks, months, whatever, sometimes years in advance of going to the studio for the full album. But in this case, we'd finished recording something else, and Mark, who engineered the album, was on the piano. I can't play the piano, I've got a guitar. That's the best I can give you. And he stood up from that instrument. And as he was leaving it physically, he just sort of, you know, spritzed a little sort of thing on the keys that sounded like, or even that sort of thing. You know, that was the move. Da, 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 da. He might have done it twice, thought to myself. And I looked at Gabe, who produced the album with me, and I said, that's cool. I said, hey, Mark, what's that? And he was already back in the control at this point. He said, I don't know, nothing. I'm just, you know, messing around. But it already had sort of wormed its way into my ear as a repeated, a sort of repetitive, fun riff of sorts that I could immediately translate to the guitar. So there I am, say it, going. And there we were stomping our feet, and the stomp felt right. And we had some kind of song, and we spent the next couple of hours still in the very earliest moments of being excited about whatever was happening. Spent the next couple of hours working on it and ended up with a song. And if you try and stop and take stock for a second, you might lose the magic. So we followed it all the way through. And it was fun, you know, as far as like, there are no drums on that recording that you've heard. There are just a combination of stomps on a studio floor and claps. We really reacted in that very instant way. And that was enough. Nobody expected that people in the wider team would even like it that much necessarily, let alone decide that it should. You know, everybody agreed that it should be the first single, but there we were, you know, unanimously saying, yeah, this feels like the most exciting thing we can go forward first with. It also didn't quite sound like anything I'd put out before, which that always excites me to sort of push a boundary in that capacity.
And I love watching your online video about the guitar that you did it on, because it's the steel, it's a metal guitar. I won't say steel guitar, it's a steel guitar. How often does the guitar dictate the song?
Well, the story of Up All Night is an interesting one, obviously, because it started on a piano, but like the guitar is my fifth limb. So with that in mind, so often, like I'll sit at pianos and be a terrible piano player and sort of find my way to different song ideas. Sometimes does the guitar dictate the song? Yeah, 9 out of 10 times. Even this afternoon or this morning, I can't remember when it was, but there's always, sometimes I sort of baffle myself that it so often feels like the same two, three or four chords, but like I find new expressions on those kinds of chords or all the time. And it's always with a guitar in my hands, because the guitar, playing guitar is what I did before I considered writing a song, before I considered singing, before I really wrote lyrics. Yeah, I was noodling, bashing out chords, and so it will always be a big part, and it's how I love to perform. You know, I've done a few moments in the last 10 years of my career where I've tried to stand there with a wireless mic and just sing something, and I love people that do that. It was kind of exciting to try a new thing, but I feel right unless I'm standing up there with a guitar. So 9.5 out of 10 times it's a guitar is heavily involved in the making of a song.
I have musical heroes that I've seen take off their guitar and do the singing, and I go, that feels weird.
That's okay. Put that back on. Yeah. I don't know if anybody said it to me directly, but I think while I might have felt it from them, I certainly felt it from myself. And that's a real truth when you can't even kid yourself.
Chris Cornell, I always remember for that. You know, I grew up a big Soundgarden fan, and he was an incredible guitar player. You know, he has that otherworldly voice, but, you know, doesn't really get enough on his guitar playing. And every now and then he would take it off, and he's like me and probably like you. He's like a little gangly up there, you know, and didn't quite know what to do with himself. And like,
yeah,
guitar back on, man. That's
yeah, 100%. Sometimes if it ain't broke, you know.
That's right. That's right. I'll quickly also point out, you know, of course, you got the Lumineers and Noah Kahan on here, who both have just put out live records, one from Fenway with Noah and one with Wrigley with Lumineers, which you're on. And you all are such a musical gang now. I'm like, it's your turn, right? You have to release the next live album in a sports stadium.
Yeah, tell me about it. Just if you could just find me those 40,000 fans that are willing to buy tickets, then I am there with bells on. I'm actually on the Noah. I'm not trying to make any kind of deal out of this. There's a Vertex season at the end of his Fenway thing. We were all on stage with him for that.
Right. Actually, I remember seeing the video for that. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's no great reason for him to sort of, you know, overly sort of promote that. So I'm not looking for I'm not looking for anything. I'm just saying it's wild that those artists who I'm greatly appreciative of and a big fan of have both, yeah, managed their sports stadium releases. To have the privilege to have been at those shows, let alone join them on stage, is otherworldly, you know, it's out of this world. So I'm extremely proud of them and privileged to be in that little way kind of related, given we've shared the stage and we've shared records now as well. What a cool team to be any part of. It's really, I'm very grateful.
And just seeing the way everything's happening sort of at once, you know, for everybody and in that scene. And I know that's one of those eye roll moments for a lot of musicians. Oh, the scene. But the fact that you're friends and these songs are all popping at once. I mean, that's, you know, that's for a fan. Like, that's a dream, you know?
I'm really enjoying sort of witnessing fans getting so giddy about all of that. You know, it's a real privilege to be a part of a group in that respect. I will continue to manifest and dream that one day we can do some kind of fancy supergroup tour in a sort of Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young capacity. I can only hope. I hope one day those guys get a little bit bored of their super shiny success that they're, you know, greatly deserve, and pick up the phone when I say, you fancy doing it? Because it would be, I think, more icing on the cake. I don't know. It's just a wonderful thing to be remotely connected to that group of people. And that scene, by the way, I've probably cringed at the idea of a sort of scene, like you say, in the past, but like, I think it's pretty cool. You know, music is always going to be tribal in one way or another. And we also live in a time when it's less tribal than ever, which I really embrace. But how fun to sort of enjoy. There's something sweet and genuine about the sort of scene or tribal nature of what's happening between sort of Noah and the Lumineers and those types of artists. And to be anywhere near it is really, really nice.
When you were saying that, I was thinking, you know, I don't think Jim James and Connor Oberst and M. Ward are going to ever do that Monsters of Folk 2. So maybe now it's just that's that you guys pick up that mantle and you make the Monsters of Folk 2. You become.
Wow. Maybe. Oh, man, I'm going to keep saying it. What I've got to get beyond is being the annoying one and keep saying it, because the truth is Noah and the Lumineers, I was busy and successful, but like what there's always one guy who's like, I've got a little bit more time, guys. Do you want to, when you've got a little bit more time as well, you know, so, and if I've got to be that guy, I'll be that guy. Just in hopes that I'd love to do Monsters of Folk 2. Hell yeah.
It's out there. We're putting it out there.
Let's put it out there, man. Put it out. Call them out. Let's do it.
In the meantime, changes all the time. Seriously, congratulations on this record. I really do mean that. It's so great hearing what you're doing. And honestly, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk about it.
It's a pleasure. You're a professional, man. It's really good fun. Nice one. Thank you.
And my thanks to James. The album is called Changes All the Time. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, hit that subscribe button before you leave so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out 3 a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please, do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from the Beatles, U2, Beba Doobie, Archers of Loaf, The Flaming Lips, De La Soul, Tom Waits, Morphine, Blind Pilot, Childish Gambino, St. Vincent, Jewel, The Vaccines, Katie Pruitt, Claro, The Decemberists, Nine Inch Nails, The Smile, and my interview with director Paul Feig as we talked about Jackpot. He directed that. Of course, it stars John Cena and Awkwafina. Just an example of what you can hear when you tune in weeknights, 6 p.m. Eastern. That's when it starts at WFPK.org. Consequence, as your music and film news, you can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I'm playing some football. I'm a soccer fan. And that happens in about 2 hours, which is always an exciting Tuesday night.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.